I'm Kyle Milan, and after 20 years in manufacturing, nobody knows more than me about industrial marketing and technical sales.
Nothing was blocking me. I was the problem, the only one stopping me. I didn't like it, I had to refocus. Now I'm devoted, I know where I'm going. Controlling emotions, I'm owning the moment. In order to get it, see, you gotta want it. This type of film make a living break.
If you own a digital marketing agency or are thinking about starting one, in this video, I'm gonna show you how I built a seven-figure agency and some key tips on how to get there faster than I did. All right, guys, I've been doing this for 8 years, built a seven-figure agency, and there's a lot of things that I wish that I knew before I started. So I'm here to break down the key areas for you to focus on. Number one is you're gonna have to look at your systems or in your organization. You have to build something that is robust because this is gonna be the lifeblood of your company. Now, what we do personally inside at MFG Tribe and Milan Media is use a program called Teamwork Projects. Teamwork Projects is an Ireland-based company, competes with Asana, competes with Basecamp. It's a little bit more cost efficient, and I personally got into it about 5-6 years ago, and we are super deep into Teamwork Projects. The way that we do it, though, is a little bit different, and here's a hack for you. Most digital agencies use a project management system internal to organize all their stuff. We do as well, but the key difference is that with Teamwork Projects, we create a duplicate project for that client that they have access to. So what it does is it allows us to easily go from our internal project that our client can't see, do all of our internal communication, create all of our documents, do the internal approvals. Once we have stuff that we want to show to the client, we just move a copy of that onto the client side that we know that they have access to. All communication goes through Teamwork Projects. We do not email back and forth with our clients. We don't have folders and system structures and subfolders into it to talk about the different things. Everything goes through our project management system. So the client-facing project has specific people from the team on it that move or copy those files over there, send messages through it, upload files, and then we break it down into categories. One of the categories is for client review. Now, what clients need to review, they can quickly go into files, go to the for client review category, and they can see, is it a script? Is it a social strategy? Is it a graphic? Is it a video? All of that stuff is in a singular category so they can quickly log into the system, see what they need to review, write their comments, feedback, upload different changes. Any of that stuff is done through the project management system. It all stays organized and all of the historical conversation is there. So I can go into one place, they can go into one place. When we tell them we're not gonna be emailing, we're gonna create you as a user in our project management system, they love it because they don't have to worry about emails from us getting lost in the shuffle. Now the system will notify them via email if you want it to when somebody does something, whether it's we upload a new file, we sent a new message, they will get an email to it and they can respond directly from that email below a certain line and say, here's my response, and the project management system will take that and put it into it as a response. That's for our clients that want to stick through. You did something, I get an email notification, I can respond to it, I don't want to log into the system. But most clients, I'd say 8 or 9 out of 10, just log into the link, they go into the project management system, look at the messages, files, do their comments, whatever it is. This is by far one of the things that I wish that I had when I originally started the agency, because too often with the email structure and subfolders, I had so many folders in my Outlook or Gmail that was just ridiculous. Whereas now our team can log into one system, work everything internal. We don't have to worry about the client seeing the things that we're talking about back and forth until we're ready, and then copy it over to their project that we've set up to it that is client facing. So once you have your system set up, and I know what you may be thinking, like, I don't need that yet, I'm just gonna do like this. Dude, no, you need to set it up initially, start creating the SOP, start creating the process of how you want to flow through this before you get into the next stages. The next step is gonna be building out the team. Now, a lot of people since COVID went remote. We were doing remote work years ago because that's what was efficient. I was able to get specific talent in specific areas because we were in a niche industry. There were certain people that I was looking for, and I didn't want to be held to just the people in my area that are going to be coming into the office or working remote. I want to look at the entire country. You can still do that. That is still extremely popular. It depends on what type of communication you want to have with your team. Using places like Upwork, you can find a freelancer and say, hey, look, I need 20 hours of your time a week, and this is what I need you to do. You bring them into the project management system, you work all the communication through that, and then you pay them as a freelancer. That can work as you're trying to expand your team. If you're just starting off and you're like, I need this type of person, but I can't afford to pay somebody 40 hours a week, go and get a freelancer. But the key is that let that freelancer know that, look, this is my intention with this is to bring you on full time. I want to make sure you have the bandwidth. I want to make sure it's something you're interested in, because some freelancers are like, no, I like having multiple clients. It keeps me from getting bored. Go into it and say, look, I want to bring you on full time eventually. Is that something you're interested in? If it is, then it's a great win-win because you can get them at 10, 20 hours a week. And as you get busier, you can get more of their time. But the way that we've changed it coming out of COVID is I want the core team to be in the office if at all possible. So we have them come in the office here. We do have people that are remote just because we are in a niche. So I need to be able to find people that are outside of our general local area to do specific tasks, to have specific skill sets and knowledge that is related to our niche. But I personally like the mix of having people in the office and people remote. You can make them both work as long as you're focused on communication, as long as you have that project management system set up. You can make both methods work. It just depends on what you want. Do you want to be spending money, $5,000 for an office, furnish it, pay for that on a monthly basis, or do you want to work remote from your house or from a singular office, just a single room? It depends on what type of vibe you're going for. What type of perception for your agency do you want? If you're trying to build a 60, 70, 80, 100 person agency, tens of millions of dollars a year, eventually you're gonna probably have to go more of a brick and mortar and have the core team in house to manage other people. I know that there's companies out there that are 100% remote, but personally, having done this both ways, doing this for the past 8 years, what I find works best for me is having people in the office. It creates a different type of environment. You can get things done quicker. I know that you can message people through Slack or through your project management system, but for me, I like the team environment better of most of the team being in-house. When it comes to hiring for your first positions, if you're just starting off, you have to look at the first thing that I hired was a project manager. I sold the client and was doing the work, and I couldn't afford to pay somebody to do the bulk of what it was that we were doing from a marketing standpoint, but I could afford to pay somebody to manage the project, manage the communication, let me go and do what I said we were going to do, and let me have a project manager be the face of the company, communicating with the client, handling their issues. If there's something comes up, they take care of it and they bring it to me. That was the first hire that I made, and I feel like that was the smartest hire for any agency. Is you can't duplicate yourself 100%. If you have certain knowledge or skill sets, you can't say, all right, now I'm going to pay somebody $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 a year to know what I know and do what I do. You want to start small and say, I just need somebody to manage the communication, manage the client, make sure that they stay happy, let me focus on doing the work. And from there, as the owner, you start to build out the team based on the services that you offer. Once you can't do it all yourself, you need to find specific things that you do, find a person that can do that, but it all runs through the project manager. So your project manager is your trusted person. You're the closest with them. They can wear multiple hats. They can do multiple things, but maybe they can't specifically execute on writing copy for email, doing web design, doing web development, but they are the quarterback to make sure that everything else gets done, and they are the buffer between the client and you doing the actual work. Now, I could get into the organization. There are tons of things on that, whether you use account managers, project managers, and break out your agency structure, but you just want to look at it initially from the standpoint of, if you're at the top and you're the agency owner, I need people that can take things off of my plate, and eventually, once you've grown enough and you've got enough clients, then you can start to spend money and create department heads as needed. But I'm more of a fan of making it very simplistic. I don't need five department heads, five directors to start off with. I want to just have people pull certain things that it is that I do to buy back my time so I can focus on what I'm good at and have them handle those tasks. Communication. I'm going to touch on this real quick. Most communication can be done through the project management, like teamwork projects, but what we found over the last year and a half is that using Slack is more efficient. Slack, we can use it to communicate with teamwork projects. It ties into it. There is an integration. Notifications can go back and forth. You can post things for Slack into teamwork projects. That's really came up from a client using it. We adopted it. We started using it every day for the past year. I love it personally because I'm able to quickly get a hold of people. Teamwork projects and Asana and Basecamp probably have their own chat system built in. I know Teamwork Projects does, but I just found that Slack is easier because then we can also set up specific Slack channels for clients if they're already using Slack, which is the most common chat method, or if they're not and we want to organize it to where we're not texting them or they're not going to jump into the project management system, we can have them download Slack, set up a channel specifically with them, and we can do all of our communication through there. Now let's talk about your offers, your services, and your paid. Now we are a niche agency. MFG Tribe is an industrial sales and marketing agency. We only work with industrial manufacturing companies. Now on the flip side, Mylan Media is more meant for small businesses, so it's less niche-y. I have found over the last 8 years, what people say is true. The riches are in the niches. If you focus down on a niche, you're only servicing a specific industry, or you're only doing a specific thing, that is where you can make the most money because you are the experts. You can't be everything to everybody, You can't sell every marketing service to every type of industry, because if you service everybody, then you're really servicing nobody. So you have to look at it. What industry excites you? Can you look at competition in that space? Back 8 years ago when I started, it was very weak competition for industrial marketing. Nowadays, there are more companies that are doing it, but it's mainly B2B companies that are saying, oh yeah, we also service that specific industry. But think about it from your client standpoint. If they are a dentist or a doctor or a lawyer, and they're looking for somebody specifically to do, let's say, SEO work or social media marketing, and they come across somebody that says, I do social media marketing only for lawyers, they're going to think that you are the expert in the space, which you should be if that's the only niche that you focus on, and you have a different type of pitch. Now, they will still go with people that are general and say, I'm B2B, I'm B2C, and we also have done work like that. They could still go with those companies, but for the most part, if you say, flag in the sand, this is my niche service, I only do Facebook ads, I only do social ads, or this is my niche industry, I only service chiropractors, dentists, lawyers, tech companies, software, SaaS, whatever it is, then you have a higher likelihood to be able to go really deep into that industry, offer them specifically what that industry needs, and then you can charge more money for that because you are the experts. You're going to be able to get to the finish line faster than the agencies that most of the time spend the first 2 to 3 months discovering more about your industry. Whereas as a niche agency, like one of the ones that I own, we go directly into it. We're already producing results at week 3 and 4 for the clients because we don't need to spend 2 to 3 months learning about everything that is that they do. We know at a high level what they do. We've been working this industry. They sell to these types of people. We already sell and market to those people for our other clients, different industries, different job functions. We know what's going to work faster. Therefore, we're able to get results quicker. Therefore, we can charge more money versus somebody else that's like, hey, yeah, I can do that for you. It'll be $2,000 a month. We say, we could do that for you, but this is specifically what works, not that other stuff. And that's going to be $6,000 a month. We can demand that price because we can produce the results quicker, and most people care about ROI. Now, from a payment standpoint, I think that the monthly retainer is best. You can do project-based stuff, web development, one-off SEO stuff, and things like that, but having monthly retainer where you say this is $5,000, $7,000, $12,000 a month, and it's a 12-month contract, you can start to plan your business around that. You need to have retainer models built in. You don't want to be hunting for things every single month. You want to say, landed this client, it's $100,000, $120,000 a year, $10,000 a month. I can count on that for the next 12 months. I can scale my agency with that. I can make certain moves from a business standpoint based on that, as long as we don't do something that's going to jeopardize that relationship and make them want to cancel with a clause like a 60-day or 90-day cancellation clause, then I know that that money is good. So as you're continuing to build the bricks of this house, you can then make decisions, future decisions and immediate decisions on scaling, growth, moves you want to make, changes you want to make in the agency based on that. Pretty much locked in, nothing's guaranteed. Those people can call you and say, this has happened to us before. We're stopping, we hired somebody internally, we're stopping this. I know that there's a clause, I'm not going to pay that clause. Sue me if you want the money, whatever. That can happen. But you have to look at it from the standpoint of, I'm trying to build revenue, monthly recurring. You've got these one-off projects, which is great. That's like a drop in the bucket. That's like a moment in time. Hey, I got a $25,000 website. Cool. Our revenue is going to increase for that, but I'm not going to count on that as a monthly recurring. And I can't make decisions for the business based on that. But retaining model, I found, is the best way to do it. All right, the last step, how are you going to scale? You have to focus on revenue. Too often, even when I started, I was going out there, drumming up business, getting the business, then doing all the stuff from an operations standpoint, delivering on those promises I made, producing the results, making them money. Then I go back and say, okay, cool, the team's got it. Now I'm going back to sales. You have to focus on sales. If you can, if you're a solo person, find somebody else that's good at sales. If you're really good at sales, find a team that can support you so you can focus on sales. But you have to constantly be focusing on that, because before you know it, you're going to look at the month and you're going to look at your pipeline and you're going to say, I didn't close any deals this month. I'm not growing. You're going to become stagnant. I could have gotten to 7 figures way faster if I would have said, this is what I'm good at, creating content and selling. I'm going to build a team around that. I'm going to build it in operations. They're going to take care of it once I close the client. I'll do the strategy because I'm good at strategy, and then let the team take care of it and let me get back to selling. I would have gone there probably twice or three times fast if I was stuck with what I'm good at and focused on sales, instead of doing all things and being the jack of all entrepreneur CEO. If you're not good at sales, bring in somebody quickly into your team that can handle the sales, even if it's, hey, this person's doing some outbound stuff, they're making calls, they're booking meetings for me. Even if you want to say, hey, I'm gonna hire an outside service to do that so that way that pipeline is still getting worked, new people are coming in. That is the only way you're gonna scale. You have to understand that. Focus on the client acquisition side and try and make sure that your operations team is delivering on those promises, and that is the fastest way you're gonna scale. Hopefully you guys got some value out of this content. If you did, share it with somebody you know. Subscribe to the YouTube channel and turn on notifications. We give away all of our content for free, exactly how to sell and market, how to build all of your businesses, how to make money. That's what we do best. We've got three different companies under our belt doing it. We've made hundreds of millions of dollars a year for our client, and we will continue to grow and do so. If you're not currently following me on LinkedIn, follow me on LinkedIn, where we do a lot of behind the scenes raw content there on a daily and weekly basis, and we will see you on the next one.
Well, that's it for this episode. If you got value out of it, please subscribe to this podcast and share it with one person you know. And if you can, leave me a review, because it really helps me out. If you want to check out my other content, go over to YouTube. I've got a channel over there, as well as find me on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook under my name, Kyle Milan. I will see you on the next one.